SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.
Uit nieuwe gegevens van de Leukemia Foundation blijkt dat 8% van de Australiërs op enig moment in hun leven te maken zou krijgen met de diagnose van enige vorm van bloedkanker. De stichting zegt dat het van cruciaal belang is dat mensen op de hoogte zijn van de aandoening, omdat het iedereen kan treffen. Rosanna Bricknell was pas 30 toen artsen haar vertelden dat ze stadium 3 van Hodgkin-lymfoom had, een vorm van bloedkanker die het lymfestelsel aantast. Ze was jong en fit en in de familie kwam geen kanker voor. En daarom had Rosanna nooit gedacht dat ze risico zou lopen.
Oh man, well I definitely thought I was, you know, like, there was no way I possibly thought I would ever get cancer.
Pas toen ze besloot naar de huisarts te gaan voor een paar in haar ogen onschuldige kwaaltjes, bleek dat er grote problemen waren.
I first noticed, like, I had a tumor in my neck that was pretty big and that I noticed in April 2022 and I didn't get diagnosed until November. And I sort of ignored it. I just didn't think anything of it. I was really busy. I was finishing exams for my master's and then backpacking around Europe, so I didn't think much of it. And got back to Australia and thought, I'll probably check that out.
Terwijl ze bezig was met het plannen van haar huwelijk, werd Rosanna doorverwezen naar een hematoloog.
I remember getting sent off with my referral to the cancer center to see her and sitting in the waiting room of the cancer center thinking, oh wow, this blood doctor, you know, must be convenient for her to see me here, and thinking really sorry. I was like, I'm so sorry for all the people in this waiting room because I must be the only person who doesn't have cancer. And then I obviously went into the appointment and she told me that I did have cancer. And I was so shocked, which I was clearly in denial beforehand.
Bloedkanker is een van de dodelijkste vormen van kanker in Australië en eist jaarlijks zo'n 6000 levens. Uit nieuw onderzoek van de Leukemie Stichting blijkt dat 1 op de 12 Australiërs direct getroffen zal worden door bloedkanker. Algemeen directeur van Blood Cancer Partnerships voor de Leukemia Foundation, Tim Murphy, zegt dat het aantal gevallen van bloedkanker in Australië de afgelopen 10 jaar met 47% is gestegen.
There are about 140,000 Australians who are living with a blood cancer today, and we anticipate that will double by 2035. So that means that about 8% of all Australians will be diagnosed with a blood cancer at some stage in their life. And that means that today, that means that 1 in 12 Australians, in fact, will be affected by blood cancer. So it's a huge number of people.
Volgens meneer Murphy komen bloedkankers, zoals leukemie en Hodgkin-lymfoom, het vaakst voor bij 50-plussers. Maar hij zegt dat mensen van alle leeftijden getroffen kunnen worden.
The blood cancers, because they are cancers of our blood and our immune system, and we all have blood and an immune system, they can affect at any point, they can occur at any point in time, from birth right through to your latter stages of your life. It is one of the great challenges of being human, is that our blood system can in fact go awry, and when it does, it can become cancerous.
Ondanks de schattingen dat bloedkanker ongeveer 8% van de bevolking treft, wisten veel Australiërs, waaronder Rosanna, heel weinig over de aandoening.
I didn't really know very much about blood cancer. Obviously, I knew about Delta Goodrum having had it, and I had the same one as her. But otherwise, I just sort of knew about leukemia generally, but I didn't know how many different kinds of blood cancer there were and the different ways that they can present with symptoms or anything like that.
1 op de 3 Australiërs bij wie bloedkanker wordt vastgesteld, sterft binnen 5 jaar na de diagnose. Onderzoekers zoals Dr. Ashwin Unnikrishnan van de Universiteit van New South Wales proberen die statistieken terug te brengen naar nul. Hij is hoofd van het Laboratorium voor Moleculaire Mechanismen in Leukemie en zegt dat zijn onderzoek zich momenteel richt op de soorten bloedkanker met de laagste overlevingskansen.
So for to give you an example, individuals over the age of 65 who get diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia typically only survive 12 to 15 months post-initiation of the best forms of treatment that we have. So you can make out that what we have in our arsenal to currently treat leukemia isn't sufficiently good enough because people aren't living long enough. And that really is the motivation for what we are doing as well. So everything that we study and research in my lab is aimed at improving treatment options.
Het onderzoekslaboratorium van Dr. Unnikrishnan heeft een subsidie van $1 miljoen gekregen van de Leukemia Foundation ter financiering van onderzoek naar een betere behandeling van bloedkanker. De stichting zegt dat het, naast het terugdringen van de sterftecijfers onder bloedkankerpatiënten, ook belangrijk is om de levenskwaliteit van degenen die ermee te maken krijgen te verbeteren. Rosanna Bricknell zegt dat het een verschil maakte dat er mensen waren die haar zich op haar gemak stelden.
It changes everything. It was really, obviously it's pretty scary. Everyone makes it really nice. It's kind of this weird thing where chemotherapy, I think, is a very scary word, and I was terrified when I went in. And it's actually a really nice environment in some ways. You sit there and you don't usually need a needle. Like, I had a PICC line in my arm that had been installed by a surgery the previous week. So, and it's not until later that you feel sick. So it's chemo itself is quite a nice guided experience with all these kind nurses.
Na 4 chemokuren en een extreme reactie op vruchtbaarheidsmedicatie zegt Rosanna dat de effecten van de behandeling op haar lichaam erger waren dan ze had verwacht.
Like, I expected all the vomiting. I knew I would get tired and foggy headed, but I didn't realize that I would be on a massive dose of steroids and that would give me insomnia, or that I'd be allergic to one of my drugs. And so every time I had that one, which they couldn't take out of the protocol, I would go to hospital for a week, and I've still got scars all over my back from it. One of them is a neuroactive agent. So when they give it to you, you actually, the first time I had this really cool tingling sensation and I was like, oh, this is sort of fun actually. But then it would give me terrible, terrible pain in my cranial nerve and I wouldn't be able to swallow or talk for a week. Yeah, and I still can't feel my toes. It kills the peripheral nerves in your fingers and toes. You lose heaps of weight. I lost 10% of my body weight in 1 week and that was probably a bit much. All your hair falls out. That sucks. You don't need to go and get a wax, I guess, which is handy.
Dr. Unnikrishnan zegt dat er verschillende beperkingen zijn aan het huidige kankeronderzoek en de behandelingsopties. Met de huidige kankerbehandeling proberen ze elke cel die zich snel deelt te doden, waarbij alles geraakt wordt in de hoop dat kankercellen zal afsterven. Maar net als kankercellen delen ook onze haarcellen en de cellen aan de binnenkant van onze darmen zich bijvoorbeeld heel snel. En daarom verliezen veel patiënten die chemotherapiebehandeling ondergaan hun haar en krijgen die vaak darmproblemen. Hij zegt dat zijn onderzoek werkt aan het creëren van een meer gerichte behandeling, waardoor de schade aan andere delen van het lichaam en het DNA wordt verminderd.
A smarter way to do this would be if you can find what's unique or different about the cancer cells, what makes them different from healthy blood stem cells, you can then leverage that difference to create something that is more targeted.
Het laboratorium van Dr. Unnikrishnan werkt aan een moleculaire proces dat RNA-splitsing wordt genoemd. En dat, simpel gezegd, verschillende soorten eiwitsequenties in het gen detecteert en bewerkt. Wat ze hebben ontdekt is namelijk dat het proces van RNA-splitsing in leukemische cellen, maar ook in andere kankercellen, veranderd is, maar normaal werkt in andere gezonde cellen.
There's a process specific to the leukemic cells that could potentially be therapeutically targeted. And that's the approach that we've been taking and the funding that we've received as well. Can we leverage this aberrant process of faulty RNA splicing that's happening within the leukemic stem cells? And can we develop a drug that specifically target this process and hopefully therefore specifically eliminate the leukemic cells whilst not affecting the healthy cells?
Bij succes kunnen behandelingen zich rechtstreeks op kankercellen richten en mensen zoals Rosanna helpen om het dagelijks leven weer snel op te pakken.
I just can't do the same things I used to be able to do. And so you actually, like, there are physical signs like the hair and stuff, but I really miss the person I used to be and how energetic and fun she was and what she could do with her life. Because I can't do those things anymore.
Ondanks de levenslange gevolgen van bloedkanker kreeg Rosanna ruim een jaar geleden het goede bericht dat ze in remissie is. Haar huwelijk zal, hoewel iets later dan verwacht, deze maand plaatsvinden. Ze zegt dat ze geluk heeft gehad.
So I absolutely would say, if you ever notice anything funny with your body, don't leave it a long time. Go and talk to someone, see your GP, get it checked out. I was so lucky that my GP knew how to do more tests and get to the bottom of this thing. And I had a tumor the size of, you know, it was 3 centimeters long in my neck. Like you could see it, and I can see it in photographs of that time. And don't leave it because you think you're young and it's probably fine, because it might not be.
Dit was een verhaal van Sam Dover en Sydney Lang en werd door SBS Dutch vertaald in het Nederlands.
Wil je nog meer soortgelijke verhalen? Luister via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify of waar je je podcasts dan ook vandaan haalt.